Let's open up the scriptures to Matthew chapter 11. So the title of this talk is Jesus' Yoke. So it's a little bit in Nina's testimony about that, which is good. Good to hear. So Matthew chapter 11, of course, when you hear Jesus' Yoke, you think of these scriptures. So we'll start with this. Down in verse 28. This is Jesus speaking. Come unto me, all ye that are labour... Sorry, I'll start again. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So we know these scriptures very well. And there's actually quite a bit in these three verses. You know, Jesus is saying to people to come unto me. You know, come and follow my ways. All ye that are burdened by things that you don't need to be burdened with. And he will give you rest. And that concept of rest is something that we understand a lot in the Spirit-filled church. And he's telling us to take his yoke upon us and learn of me. I like it how it says there, learn of me. There's a process, a learning process. That you're not, it's not an immediate understanding. It's a process of learning of how to place your yoke upon Jesus Christ, how to give him all your labours, you know, and basically dump all your heavy burdens on him. It's a learning thing over time. And it says here, for he is meek and he is lowly in heart. So learning of him to be meek and lowly in heart, to have that simple mind to think, well, it's too much, Lord. You deal with it. And you shall find rest for your souls, for his yoke is easy and his burden is light. So Jesus, he's putting himself there, offering his shoulder to help you out. And recently I've had this in mind a lot. And just say, Lord, it's your problem. You know, you said in your scriptures that you want us to take your yoke, which is easy and light. So it's your problem. Deal with it, Lord. Okay, I can't. It's just too much. It's my head's going in a spin. It feels like my brain's turned upside down. It's just not working in my own strength. So you deal with it. And it's completely unnatural, particularly for me, where I try to solve the problems myself and try to do things to fix them up. But there's a point where you can't. And just like, Lord, you deal with it. You told me to do this. It's your responsibility. The scriptures say so. That's what Jesus was designed for, was to take our burdens. Because if we don't let him take our burdens, we are heavy laden. We're taking too much on our own shoulders. So the Lord is saying, do it. Please do it. So over to Isaiah chapter 28. Famous chapter. It's worth reading every now and again, even though we know the words very well, because it's so important. A wonderful prophecy of times to come, of a spiritual time to come, and a wonderful prophecy of the signs that follow all those that are spirit-filled, of course. So Isaiah chapter 28, verse 9, whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts, babies, or childlike, have a mindset to follow with just deep faith and trust. Verse 10, for precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. So there's that learn of me that we read back in Matthew chapter 11, where Jesus said, come, all ye that are heavy laden, and learn of me. Learn of me, for precept must be upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. Learn. Verse 11, for with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to his people. Of course, praying in tongues in the Holy Ghost. To whom he said, this is the rest, wherewith you may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. Okay? And we understand that refreshing. We've got the living water, and we've got that peace and that understanding. And that is perfected when we let him take our burdens. And it says here at the end of verse 12, this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. Now, before the last couple of weeks, I always looked at that and I thought, yeah, yet they would not hear. You know, we go about, we tell others about the kingdom of God and how you can be a part of the kingdom of God, but they would not hear. You know, they just don't want to be a part of the spiritual rest. They will not hear. And so that's exactly what it is referring to here. However, it can refer to us as well. You know, Jesus asks us to learn of him, little bit by little bit, little bit by little bit, and for him to carry our burdens. So let us not be those that would not hear. You know, we can have people walking in spirit and in truth, following God's ways, taking burdens upon themselves, trying to solve things in their own flesh, because they will not hear. They will not hear what Jesus is saying. Give me your burdens. Give me your problems. Dump them on my shoulders. Listen to what I'm saying and learn of me. Let us not be those that do not hear. And look, everyone here in this room can be in that category of not hearing. You know, I've been there. We've all been there where you're just caught up and you're not listening. It's not twigging for whatever reason. But let us hear. Let us look above what's going on in our mind and listen and learn of him, how we can be set free, okay? How we can be set free of that heavy burden. Acts chapter 10. So Acts chapter 10, we'll go through a bit more of this chapter than we normally do. Acts chapter 10, this is the chapter that at the end when the Holy Ghost was first poured out upon the Gentiles, and it was done in an amazing fashion, revelation that came to and that vision that came to Peter. But we'll start in verse 1 just to introduce it. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. So he had this understanding of God, probably heard through the Jews. He lived in Caesarea, which was in Judea, and he believed in God. He had a respect to God and God's ways. And then read further down through the chapter, and there's this this instance where obviously God hearkened unto that, someone who desired to follow God's ways and do what was right. So God called Peter, and he showed him these visions to let him know that the salvation is of the Gentiles as well. It's not only of the Jews. Because prior to this, they only witnessed to people that were Jews, thinking, well, salvation's only ever been for the Jews, you know, under the old law. So, of course, it's going to be the same now. But no, this is a whole new covenant. It's a whole new way where it's open to the Gentiles too, open to all people. And so Peter was given this understanding. So that by the time Cornelius and his mates rocked up to Peter's house, he knew what to say. And they're all together in this room. And down in verse 34, it says here, then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. A great bit of dialogue there. And before I read the next few verses, it just says in verse 38, it says, this bloke called Jesus, you know, he was full of the Holy Ghost and with power. He went about doing good. Okay? That's what Jesus did. He did good. You know, it's simple. He is doing that now too. He's offering goodness to us now. And he went about healing all sorts of people. Those who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. He was setting people free. As we heard in testimony, people set free from alcoholism, set free from depression, set free from sickness and so forth, just set free. That's what Jesus did. He went about doing good, and he's doing it today. He hasn't stopped, because it says, as it says here, after he was hanged on a tree, he was raised up, and he was shown openly. And Peter was an eyewitness of when he was raised up as well, to sit on the right hand of God. And so this is that Jesus Christ that we serve and we follow. This is that same Jesus Christ that's offered his shoulder for us to throw our burdens on that shoulder and release and be free from them ourselves. A few people have testified that when they first came along, got baptized by full immersion, received the Holy Spirit, they felt a lightness on their shoulders. They didn't realize they were carrying it. They didn't have a clue, but it was there. And that's what Jesus does, even from the day one when we receive the Holy Spirit. We'll carry on, verse 44. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. So these Gentiles were the fulfilling of Isaiah 28. You know, this is that that they received the Holy Ghost with stammering lips and another tongue. And this is the rest. They heard, they hearkened unto that. And they entered the rest. Ah, I know what it's all about now. They would have experienced exactly what we experienced when we received the Holy Spirit. That peace, that joy, that lightening of the burdens. They would have experienced all of that. And that love of God, that understanding of eternal life. You know, the understanding of what life's all about. All like that. Bang. And they've entered that rest. They're no longer struggling, wanting to know what God wants, because they know. As was predicted in Isaiah 28, they heard and they entered that rest. Now, the few chapters in Acts that carry on through, and then we get to Acts chapter 14. Oh, yeah, that's right. Here we go. Acts chapter 14 and verse 27. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of the faith unto the Gentiles. And there they abode long time with the disciples. So this is referring to Paul just rehearsing about the amazing things that were happening amongst the Gentiles. As we read there before, people who were so far from God had no idea about the God of the Bible. They were receiving the Holy Spirit, and it's just wonderful things God was doing amongst them. And it says here, open the door of faith to the Gentiles. It just spread like wildfire. And then we get to chapter 15, verse 1. And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren, i.e. the Spirit-filled people, and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. Now, it's simplified it here, but you could say that except you follow the law, all the law, you cannot be saved. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, in other words, they had a ripper of an argument, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. and being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto all the brethren. Okay? Just great joy to hear the spreading of the gospel, as we have here now. You know, here we are in Australia, but we hear the gospel being spread all over the world. You know, no matter where it is, we're just so happy. It's great joy whenever people come by and declare what they've seen in other countries. And it's the same thing happening here in Phoenicia and Samaria. Verse 4, and when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them. But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed, saying that there was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. And the apostles and elders came together for to consider this matter, because they hadn't been confronted with it before. And when there had been much disputing, again, there was much talking amongst these people, much arguing, opinions being thrown about. And then you can almost imagine, then finally, it says, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. So he's referring to those events in Acts chapter 10. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us, and put no difference between them, us and them, purifying their hearts by faith, setting them free. Now, therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, even as they. Then all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. And then there's a decree that's sent out. We don't need to read that, but the point is, what I've just read, is these people were set free. Someone else came along and tried to put a yoke back on them, tried to get them to carry a burden. And even in the Old Testament, the law is referred to as a burden. It actually says that the Levites were to carry the burden of the law. That was their role. And so these people of the sect of the Pharisees tried to put this burden back on these people that were set free. And I like here how Peter just clearly says here in verse 10, this yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear. So from personal experience, Peter knew that it was impossible to bear this burden of the law. So why would we put that back on their shoulders? You know, why? That burden doesn't need to be there anymore. You know, let them live their life in purity and have that joy and peace in following God's ways. You know, God in the new covenant through the Spirit, you know, the healings and the miracles and the provisions and just the fellowship of the saints, that clean life that you can lead now. That's what Peter's saying here, full of the Holy Ghost again, like he has been in other times, you know, and to be able to declare with authority that why would we put this yoke upon the neck of the disciples? And we'll go to Galatians chapter 3, because there's the danger as well in the modern Spirit-filled church for that burden to be put back on our shoulders. It says elsewhere in the scriptures to labour to enter your rest, to be active to enter your rest, to be conscious of burdens that are coming back onto your own shoulders and conscious of not putting burdens on someone else's shoulders. Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. Love the opening here, O foolish Galatians. Okay, where's your perspective gone? Where has your perspective gone? You know, fools, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? These are fundamental truths. This only would I learn of you: received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you in the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? You know, that's that liberty, that freedom. Yes, it's the work of faith. It's not the following of all the little precepts and things in the Old Testament, the old laws and so forth. It's about faith. That's the freedom. And it says there in verse 3, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect in the flesh? So why do we do it? We're human beings. That's why we do it. It's as simple as that, but we do it. But if we can somehow turn back to the Spirit always, turn back continually and follow the things of the Spirit, because we're not made perfect by the flesh. It's so important, the Scripture. When you're weak, then you're strong. When your flesh is diminished, then you're strong because you're relying on the Lord. Because we're not made perfect by the flesh. The flesh will let us down. The flesh condemns us. The flesh equals sin. The Spirit is life. The Spirit is righteousness. The Spirit has set us free. It's not the works of the law or the works of the flesh, our own efforts. Luke chapter 11. And it backs up what we're reading there. Luke chapter 11 and verse 46. And it's kind of moving in to another point. And he said, woe unto you also, ye lawyers, those that know the law. For ye laid men with burdens grievous to be borne, and ye yourselves touch not the burdens with one of your fingers. In this, elsewhere in the Scriptures, it refers to here that they're hypocrites. You know, they say, oh, do this and do this and do this, and yet they're not doing it themselves. You know, so you can imagine, you know, they're saying all this stuff, but not helping people, not helping them to reach salvation and follow the paths of God. And so us, we can also accidentally put burdens on others, you know, put requirements on others. You know, we all have a different walk. We all work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. And we all have to realize that. And not put a burden on someone else that is too grievous to follow God the way someone else wants to follow it. You know, like we all follow God's ways, which leads to righteousness, that purity, the instruction in the Scriptures, which is very clear. But we can sometimes ask people to be something they can't, you know what I mean, and put that burden, that worry and that stress on them. Oh, no, I can't do that. That means I'm not saved. Well, that's rubbish. You are saved. You're filled with the Spirit. Keep walking in Spirit and in truth. Do what you can, okay? Don't be heavy laden, okay? You've got that burden. Put it on the Lord's shoulders, on Jesus' shoulders. He's offered his shoulder. He wants us to do it. We have to do it so that we survive. 1 Peter chapter 2. And verse 15. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men or foolish teaching. Hypocrites. Verse 16. As free and not using your liberty, for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honour all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honour the king, you know, serve our masters. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. I'll just stop there. It goes through some other things. But this whole, it says 16, we are free. And then it says, it warns us, you know, not using our liberty for a cloak of maliciousness. You know, we are free to do all things, but it's not expedient. Okay? We, our testimony is so important. Our testimony is so powerful, as we heard mentioned this morning. People notice. And alcohol was mentioned in both testimonies. I firmly believe deep down in every person, they believe a Christian should not drink. Many times when I've mentioned that I don't drink because I'm a Spirit-filled Christian, that everyone's got, oh, but I know such and such. They're a Christian and they drink. oh, no, they are a Christian, and they're cool, they drink. But I think deep down, they all have an understanding that Christians shouldn't drink. And that's our testimony. It really stands out. As Andy said in his at the Defence Forces, it stands out. But the wonderful thing is, people gravitate to that because there's this freedom there. They're free from that that burden. So we are free, but let not that liberty be used as a cloak of maliciousness. And that's what I mean, that judgment. That judgment, oh, you know, you're not quite worthy because you do that. You know, or your walk is not quite like this person's. So that's a cloak of maliciousness. That's that burden that was referred to back in Luke chapter 11, that we are all free. We are all to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. You know, that is so important, that fear and trembling, that high regard, that if we start doing things God doesn't want us to do, we're going to lose our salvation. It's as simple as that. I was talking to someone recently, and they were just this confusion about all the other religions. You know, oh, there's all this confusion there. And I said, yes, it is confusing because they are people doing that which is right in their own eyes. It says that twice in the Old Testament. And that's where the disaster is, when people do that which is right in their own eyes. We have to do that which is right according to God's wisdom. And then there is no cloak of maliciousness. There's no extraneous burden that's put upon someone else's shoulders. No expectation beyond what they can bear. I mean, it does say that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. So we do actually have to carry a burden, but it's light and it's easy. Okay, we've got this burden where we've got a testimony to shine and we've got the gospel to spread. You know, we're always on guard as well. That's the burden that we bear. But it's light and it's easy when we look to him. We don't need anything else. Great scripture that I only discovered a couple of months ago. You know, this whole thing, we churn through the Bible, we read the same verses over and over again, and then every now and again we get this amazing understanding. So just keep reading the Bible, keep churning it through. It's actually in I'll read it out. It's in Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 16. It says, "Be not righteous overmuch, neither make thyself overwise. Why shouldest thou destroy thyself?" Very interesting. Be not over pious. You know, ooh, I'm so righteous. Ooh, I'm following the right way. You know, ooh, I'm so wise. You know, don't do that. You'll destroy yourself. Relax. You know, we are free. We don't have to prove ourselves and being like straight like this and like, no, we are free. We can relax. We're at peace. You know, we don't need those burdens. We can follow his way with confidence. Yes, we condemn ourselves, but we can still get on our knees and pray in tongues. We can still enter the holiest of holies. We are righteous before God. We are perfect. We have a cloak of righteousness. So let us not overdo it either and put all our expectations on our own shoulders. Oh, no, I made a mistake. I've got to do this. Oh, I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have thought that. Realize that it's the flesh that did it and that we're free now. We look to the future. So be not righteous overmuch, neither make thyself overwise. Only handle what you can handle, really. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13. "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." That love serving one another. What we do is to help everyone else out, you know, to help them in their walk, to help even those that are weak in their understanding. Verse 14, "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself." Just back to verse 1. "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Okay? Look to the future. Look at the way the Lord wants us to walk with lightness in our feet. But stand fast, it says there. Again, that's the active thing, to stand fast and remember that we are righteous before the Lord. Luke chapter 4 and verse 16. And he came, this is Jesus Christ, to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up. He came home, and his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he'd opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, and to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." And all bare him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" So very important. Jesus understood, of course, being the Son of God, that these scriptures were fulfilled. And we live that life now as a result of his sacrifice. You know, this day is this scripture fulfilled in our ears today. And we can bear witness of the gracious words, you know, the gracious things that God's done for us to set us free, preach deliverance to the captives, that we have words of authority to tell others how they can be set free. It says elsewhere further down the scriptures that to preach deliverance to those that are in prison, you know, captives, spiritual captives, because they're not free. You know, and the healings, recovering of sight to the blind so they can see with clarity. The scales have fallen off their eyes. Or as Andrew said in his testimony, it's as if they've got a bag over their head. And that's like the veil that's covering their vision. So we can see. And those that have been battered and bruised with all sorts of weird ideas, set free, we're liberty there. And the brokenhearted, we've got hope now, peace, and so forth. And that's what Jesus has done for us. And this day, that scripture is fulfilled in our ears. In our ears. Okay, when it refers to in our ears, it refers to our understanding. You know, we understand that this has happened in our lives now. And so let us remember and learn of him. Okay, back to Isaiah chapter 61 to finish up on. This is the scripture that Jesus was reading there. But it adds a little bit more, which is nice. Another aspect. So Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 1. "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified." Just such powerful words there. Just so amazing what God's done. You know, proclaiming the acceptable year of the Lord to comfort all those that mourn. You know, and then appointing a time and a place. It says there, to appoint unto them, appointing a time and a place for all those that mourn, all those that are bound, all those that are heavy laden, that they may come and be free. That the oil of joy, you know, that we can see things that others can't. We can understand things that others cannot understand. We understand there's a process of learning, and that learning is so exciting because we find out more things. We start to understand, have a greater appreciation of our righteousness before God and the authority we have as well. The living God that created everything we see, and he has hearkened to us and called us an individual, called us as an individual and his own dear children. How amazing is that? He holds us in the palm of his hands. He extends his protection over us like a hen does its chicks. We are so precious to him. He wants us to understand that. He wants us to grab hold of that. He wants us to learn that and build upon that learning and build upon the learning over and over and over again, so that we are free and we completely understand that when we are heavy laden and we go back to the things of the flesh, we are going back to prison. You know, we are free from that. He's broken the bars down miraculously. He sits on the right hand of God, justifying us as being perfect before him. It is amazing what he's done for us. Let us continue to reject the things of the flesh, the burdens the flesh try to put on our shoulders, and dump them back on Jesus' shoulders, where they belong. The only burden we have to carry is holding our testimony, being ready to preach the gospel, to understand the scriptures, to understand how to expound them to others, how they can become a part of the kingdom of God, and know how wonderful it is to be set free. All because of Jesus' sacrifice and his amazing grace.